Okay, today we're going to continue in Maseches Shumos, and we're going to do Perek Zayin Mishnah Zayin as well as Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. So Perek Zayin concludes with a case of, again, we're continuing in these series of Mishnayos where you have a case of two boxes, one of them is Chulin and one of them is Truma, and you don't know which is which, you don't know which one is Chulin and which one is Truma, but in Mishnah Zayin what we're discussing is where you plant the seeds of one of them and you just don't know which seeds you planted. See, the halacha generally is that if you plant Truma, you have to rip it up from the ground right away. You have to be choresh, you have to plow it up, and anything that grows from that will be Truma as well. So Zareh Sachas Mehen, let's say you plant one of these boxes and you don't know whether what you planted is Truma or not. Halach is Potter. You do not have to tear it up from the ground, and again, this is talking about where it's something that's only Chayiv in Truma Midrabanan. So even it's a Safek on a Drabanan level, and therefore you're Potter. Vahashnia, but the remaining box that you have behind, if you're assuming that what you planted was the chulin stuff, then you have to assume the remaining box you have behind is noig b'ketruma. You have to assume that that is truma. But even though you assume that it's truma, v'chayev es b'chala divrei Meir. Rav Meir holds that it's still going to be chayev in chala because you cannot assume that it's truma l'kula. You can only assume it's truma l'chumra. So even though truma would be part of chala, you have to assume that it is chulin insofar as that it's chayev in chala. Rabbi Yossi Potter and Rabbi Yossi says that it's pater from challah, that you do not have to be mafresh challah, because if what you planted is chulin, then you have to assume that the box that remains is truma, and you can assume that it's fully truma, the box that remains. Zara acheres hashniya pater, if someone else comes along and plants the second box, so I have two boxes, one of them is chulin, one of them is truma, I don't know which is which. I plant box A, and you know the seeds of box A. So I'm assuming that what I planted is chulin, because I don't want to have to tear it up from the ground. Someone else comes along and plants the seeds in box B. He's also allowed to assume that it's chulin and not rip it up from the ground, because he could say to me, how do you know what you planted was chulin? Maybe the stuff that I planted was chulin. So, however, if Zara Echad Shteyan, if the same guy plants both boxes, B'davar Shezaru Kala Mutter, B'davar Shein Zaru Kala Asir, then it's going to depend whether the seed disintegrates in the ground, because the halacha is that when you're not sure which box is chulin, which box is truma, when we assume that one of them is truma, we assume that that has the status of meduma. It has the status of truma and chulin that are mixed together. And the halacha by meduma is that when you plant that which is meduma, which is truma and chulin mixed together without the benefit of bittul, when you plant that which is meduma, you only have to rip it up from the ground if the seed remains intact in the ground, like when you plant an onion in the ground where it remains intact. But if it disintegrates in the ground by the time anything grows from it, then you do not have to rip it up from the ground. So that's why it depends on Davar Shezaru Kala versus Davar She'in Zaru Kala. So now we move on to Parakhes of Maseches Shumos, and Parakhes Mishnah Aleph discusses the following case. A person is eating Truma, and then they realize, I thought I was entitled to eat Truma, but it turns out I'm not. Meaning not only is a Kohen allowed to eat Truma, the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, the Eved of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. So let's say a woman's eating Truma, she thought she was Mrs. Cohn, and then she discovers right away that, by the way, you're no longer married to your Cohen husband. Or an Eved is eating Truma, and he discovers, oh, by the way, you're no longer owned by your Cohen master. Or even a Cohen himself, he was eating Truma, he's doing the Avoda, and then he discovers that he's really a Cholol, that he's not really a Cohen. So Isha Shaisal Chalas B'Truma, a woman who was married to a Cohen was eating Truma, Bov Amrla, and then people came and told her, Meis Balech, your husband died, or Ger Sheikh, or your husband divorced you, so you're no longer married to a Cohen. Wait a second, her husband divorced her. Doesn't she need to be there for her husband to divorce her? So the short answer is no, she does not need to be there. The halacha is that you could send a get, a shliach to be makabel get. So the woman may have sent a shliach to be makabel get and thought that the shliach was being makabel get tomorrow, and really he was makabel get today, so she thought she was still good to eat truma, but she was not, because she's no longer married to the husband. V'cheina eved she'ochel b'truma, or you have an eved. An Eved Kanani that was eating Truma, Ubov Amrlo, and they told him, by the way, Meis Rabcha, your master died. Meaning you thought you're owned by a Kohen, but the Kohen that owned you died, and his grandson inherited you, and his grandson's not a Kohen, because it's his daughter's son, and now you're owned by Yisrael, so you're no longer entitled to eat Truma. Omer Chorchel Yisrael, or your master sold you to Yisrael, Onesancha B'matana, or maybe he gave you as a gift to Yisrael, Oasa Acha Ben Chorin, or maybe you're in luck, and he freed you, even though typically you're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani, lolem bem tavodu, but he did, meaning it works if he does it, so he freed you. So maybe... so you're not owned by a Kohen anymore. So in all those cases, you really should not have been able to eat Truma. V'chein Kohen shayochel b'Truma. And forget about the wife or the Eved of a Kohen. The Kohen himself. If you have a Kohen who was eating Truma. V'nodoshu ben Grusha ben Chalutza. And then he discovers that he's a ben Grusha or a ben Chalutza, that his mother was actually previously married before she married his father, and she was divorced, and he's the product of this marriage of a divorcee and a Kohen, where the halach is that he's a Chalal, that he does not have the status of a Kohen, or the mother had a chalitza previously, and therefore she was pasul lakuna. Reb Lazar mechayev karen v'chomish. So in all these cases, Reb Lazar says, whether it be the woman that thought she was married to a Kohen, the slave that thought he was owned by a Kohen, or the guy who thought he was a Kohen and it turned out to be a chalal, he has to pay not only the karen, but the extra chomish as well, just like anybody else in that situation, any other non-Kohen who eats truma b'shogeg. Rabbi Yeshua poter, but Rabbi Yeshua says, no, he doesn't have to pay anything. Rabbi Yeshua paters entirely. The Bartanura explains, "Begemara muki la dafka ba'ochel chumas chametz be'erev Pesach mipnei shezmanu bol shashad chuka va'omid levara chametz shel chuma v'alach krabi Yeshua." That the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim says that we're talking about a specific case where it's the morning of erev Pesach and the woman, the slave or the kohen, is eating chametz that's chuma, so they have to finish the chametz before it becomes asur on erev Pesach. So they're in a big rush, and that's why they didn't go through the proper research to see, am I indeed allowed to eat this? So that's where we say that they're not going to be chayiv to pay like someone who's a regular czar who eats truma. That's where we assume it's somewhat of an onus. But if the woman or the eved or the guy himself was eating truma on any other day, then even Rabbi Shur would agree he has to pay the karen v'chomesh. That's a classic shogeg. That would be, it's true he didn't know, but he should have done the research, and that's a shogeg. But on erev Pesach, Rabbi Shur thinks it's not a shogeg; it's an onus. At that point, now another machlok of Lazar and Rabbi Shua, haya omer makrav al gabei mizbech. If a kohen was doing the avoda by the mizbech, v'nodushu ben grusha ben chalutza, and then he discovers that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. Rabbi Eliezer omer kala karbanos shikrav al gabei mizbech psulim. So he's not a kohen. So all the karbanos that he brought on the mizbech are absolutely possible, and you have to go bring other karbanos in their place. But Rabbi Shua machshir. Rabbi Shua says that the karbanos are going to be kosher that he brought on the Mizbeach, and he derives this, the Bartanur explains, that even if he's a Chalal, that there is certain circumstances where even a Chalal is able to affect a proper Karban, and this is exactly that circumstance where he's a Chalal, but he didn't realize that he's a Chalal. Let's say it's not that he discovered he wasn't a Kohen, but no deshu bal mum. He discovers that he has a physical mum that would passel him from doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, so then avodas pesula. Then his avoda is going to be pasul, because you don't have a special pasuk that teaches me that we could be machshir his avoda. So to quickly summarize what we learned today in Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, we learned that if a person has two boxes, one of chulin, one of truma, and he planted one of them, he has the right to assume that that which he planted is chulin, so he doesn't need to rip it up from the ground. Someone else plants the second one, he also has the right to assume that it's chulin. But if the same guy plants both, then he has to assume that one of them is truma. But if it's davar she'ein zaro kala, it has a status of meduma. So if it's something that doesn't get disintegrated in the ground, he does not have to rip it up. And then in Mishnah, in Parakhas Mishnah Aleph, we learned that if a person, whether it be a woman who thought she was married to a Kohen and never thought he was owned by a Kohen, or a person himself who thought he was a Kohen, and then they discover after eating Truma that they in fact were not married to, owned by, or themselves a Kohen, so we had a machlokas, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua, whether you have to pay Karen V'chomesh or not. But we said that even Rabbi Shua, who says you don't have to, is only talking about an extreme case where it's a total onus. And then we had a case where a person was doing the avoda by the Mizbeach, and he realizes he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. So again, we have machlok sablaz Rabbi Yeshua, whether the carbon is pasul or maybe the carbon is kosher. Why on earth would the carbon be kosher? It must be there's a special pasuk to tell me that the carbon is kosher. However, if a person discovers that he's a balmum, you don't have any special pasuk to teach me that the carbon is kosher, and therefore everyone would agree that the carbon is pasul. Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Parakhas Mishnah Beis.